the smart jokes until you go flat broke. Post all your shows on Facebook. But you gotta get a hot bit, then you can really cook.
Tell us more.
You can yes and a yes and a yes, yes and. That's the improv ways. But a yes and a yes and a yes, yes and. And I add my own catchphrase.
Mommy, I broke my arm again.
That is my life.
You're looking more like your mother every day.
That is my life.
Honey, I got fired for sexual harassment.
That is my life. Now every mother and wife is saying that is my life. Thanks to my clever routine. You gotta get a hot bit if you wanna get seen.
She can yes and yes and say her catchphrase. That's not what I call fun. Me, I yes and I yes and I yes, yes and. But I do it with my puns.
Ouch! I got hit in the head with a Coca-Cola!
Luckily, it was a soft drink. I learned sign language in college. I find it very handy.
So we just heard a beautiful musical selection that was written by two of the people who are here. And so could you tell me about the song?
Well, it was inspired from the musical Gypsy. You Gotta Get a Gimmick, which is about how strippers stand out in the game of stripping by getting a little gimmick.
And that's basically how we feel about comedy. What we did in the song was kind of try to represent the fact that we often feel pigeonholed as women to have to do certain very specific types. The frazzled mother, or the bimbo, or the crazy woman. So that was basically the idea.
My name is Cassidy Russell, and I perform, coach, and teach at the Village Theater here in Atlanta.
Hi, I'm Tara Oakes. I am a company member at Dad's Garage.
I'm Sarah Garr. I perform and coach over at the High Wire Comedy Company in Decatur. And then I kind of perform independently at other theaters. I write my own sketches and my own shows. And I also do stand-up. And it's good to be here.
Well, how do I follow that? I'm Karen Cisse. I used to be main stage with Whole World Theater, and I've done sketch. I write sketch. I produce my own comedy as well.
We're a bunch of Jackie of all trades, you know?
Jackie. In the world today, in 2015, as funny women, how does female comedy, women's comedy, differ from male comedy, or is there a difference?
I was actually thinking about this. I think women are more giving, more empathetic, and more group-minded in general. I think men tend to be a bit more selfish, and that's why they can really rock stand-up. But I think that's why, like, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, a lot of these women are, like, good about creating work environments where and helping other people thrive as well.
I totally agree with what you're saying, but I also just think, obviously, the worst thing is if you don't get put in something or you don't get cast in something, that feels terrible. But to me, the like next step bad thing is when I get put in something because I'm a woman, that I don't want that. But I also recognize that we're not at a point where we can avoid that yet. And I want women at my theater to have a woman to look up to who performs on the weekends. But I also want to be there because I'm a great improviser, not because I'm a great female improviser.
Yeah, that's growing up in the South. I think there especially there's this level of women behaving themselves and propriety. So that has been something that I personally have had to overcome in my progress. And having been in comedy since the mid to late 90s, I've definitely seen an evolution from being basically the only female in the improv group or in the theater at Dad's Garage. There were maybe one or two of us. And that's changing, but it's slow to change.
Yes.
We still are a minority in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of times, especially when you look at like improv troupes, it's very frat boy environment. And a lot of it is because you do kind of say whatever comes out of your mouth, which is funny on stage. No, but, you know, and I think that is why it's been a little bit more male dominated. And I know when I got into improv, I was already married for several years. So it was kind of a different adjustment for me as well, just being kind of at a different point in my life.
I also mean because in terms of, because a lot of humor does focus around the body. And sort of self-deprecating, making fun of other people's bodies. So how does that factor into women's humor?
So I'm in a group where I'm one of two women out of 12. So that's still a vast minority, obviously. And it is interesting because I know that I'm judged differently. I feel like very few people judge male comedians on how they look. There's this, you know, it's a little bit of a joke of, you know, like every dude improviser is like a bald guy or he's, you know, he's fat, but it's not like a negative joke versus when you talk about a female comedian, it gets mentioned how she looks and it's more important. Like Louis C.K., no one's mentioning what he looks like in a negative way.
Yes, Louis C.K. makes fun of the way he looks, and it's hilarious. A woman makes fun of the way she looks or comments on the way she looks, and it's sad it's and pathetic. Sad. It's desperate. And we do. We get defined by our looks, and we get shoved into specific comedic roles based on those. So if we're beautiful, then we're a jerk. And if you're ugly, then you're the friend next door and you could never be considered the love interest. Mm-hmm. Or if you're overweight. And that's so subjective, but it is absolutely the first, one of the very first things that we're defined by in comedy.
I think there's still that idea that if someone's beautiful, or a woman is beautiful, she's probably not funny. I was just saying recently in an interview, I was told I'm much funnier than my headshot makes me look, which I don't think was because I don't have a gag headshot. Like, I don't think anyone has that. It's just, it surprises people that you can be.
Because you're so pretty and yet
I'm
you're funny.
Beautiful.
Because, yeah, I was going to say, based on that, I would be the most boring person in the world. Because I'm really
so pretty.
Well, it's changing, yeah, because for a while I couldn't get work. Like 5 years ago in this market, and I asked my agent, she's like, they don't know what to do with you. You look one way, but you're kind of a weird freak, you know? And it's like, I can't stop. I'm not going to change who I am just because of the way I look, but. Whatever. It's changing for sure, though.
I think just one more thing is that it's easier as a woman to get kind of trampled on stage. I was in a show recently where it was me and 10 dudes, and that like pack mentality took over. And the only way it feels like that you can stand up for yourself is, you know, you keep doing good, solid comedy on stage, but at a point you can't, and you're just getting overrun just because there are fewer of us.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you guys a story? I was once, like, it was more of a private comedy show. It was, like, at an independent theater for a friend's birthday. You know, I'm an insane player. Like, anything goes when I'm up there. Like, so it's, like, and people know that. I steamroll. I do whatever I want. I don't really care. And this guy had just done a ship with Second City. This was in Chicago. And we're playing insane. And everyone keeps making me play my crazy aunt character, you know, which is like I do a lot. Mm-hmm. And so someone tags someone out. So they want to keep playing with my crazy aunt character. And then someone else gets tagged in. And I just keep doing it. I'm like, I'm eating spaghetti. And he, no joke, turns to the audience and goes, what's this problem? Like, not being, like, supportive of me. Not being, like, this girl sucks. Am I right? And he got booed. Everyone started booing him, but it was just like that moment where, like, at any time, these men assume that everyone will be on their side. For how dare a woman be, like, acting like this?
I was in a show very recently, not with Atlanta people, but, like, people who teach in L.A. and Chicago who I was excited to get to play with, all guys. And it got started that anytime I was on stage, I was the only girl in this show with 12 dudes. I would get tagged out and they'd say, did you that yet?
No way.
And I think that's the pack mentality thing of like, it got laughed at one time. And I, not only did I feel like shut down as a female, but just as an improviser, yeah. I was like, I'm good and you're taking me out of scenes. And I think the great thing is I haven't felt that in Atlanta until that moment, and it wasn't Atlanta comedians doing it. So I hadn't ever felt that, but there is just that moment that I have never seen a male comedian put in that position where you feel just like I felt the same way, like I'd just been punched.
Yeah.
And I had to keep doing the show, and you just feel
like you want to crawl in a hole and die.
Yeah, you feel vulnerable and embarrassed, and that's terrible.
But I think also this goes to another point of how men and women are different. And a lot of times women will wait to be accepted or given permission to do something or whatever, and men will just take it. And that's where, you know, when they talk about how women make 70 cents for every dollar, it's not necessarily that people are giving women less money. It's that women are not asking for more. And you know, comedy can kind of be an example of that, is how we have to speak up. We have to speak up for ourselves. We have to take the stage. We have to, Melissa McBride, who, you know, everyone knows as Carol on Walking Dead now, but she was a casting director here for years. And I remember one time she spoke to one of my classes and she was just like, this is your time. This is your space. You take that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we need to do that more, is to take that moment and also recruit more people and bring more people in.
Yeah.
And I think that men don't necessarily reach their hand out as much as women do to pull the next person up.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I think is positive now is that there are female role models. Having a female teacher as a female is a really important thing. And I never had a female teacher, and I didn't take classes here, but my teachers were all guys. And it's just silly little stuff, is when you're learning how to do accents, male accents are different than female accents. So it'd be like, oh, just, you know, for like, try to mimic what this guy who's really good at it does and you'll get it. And I'd be like, but that's a totally different, it just sounds different. I don't think there's like a women and men are separate levels of funny, but there is a difference and you need to have those role models.
Yeah, we play differently. Mm-hmm. In comedy, women play differently, and guys don't want to admit that. And they'll say, oh, well, you think because women aren't funny? And it's like, no, we're just, we're funny in a different way.
Yes.
And so we've got to teach our audience that, and we have to teach guys that we play with how to play with us,
mm-hmm.
because we just play differently. It's like you said, sometimes like we're more giving, but that's, to me, that's one of the problems, too, that we run into, is that because there's so few of us in comedy, we threaten each other.
Yes.
And I get compared to the two other women at my theater that are, you know, that I'm playing against, question mark? Mm-hmm. Like, really? I have to be the one best girl? It kind of surprises me that it's only been the last couple of years that we've started to build active networks,
mm-hmm.
yes.
and say, yes, this is, we have to help each other get in because we're not doing it alone.
Well, yeah. I think that there was I remember like 5 years ago, there was that cutthroat feel, because it was like some of these theater systems are very much like there's only room for one, you know, it's like the Hunger Games. So like the women out there are like, well, it's going to be me, you know. So you almost didn't want to support the other women because you wanted to be the big girl on top.
I think Atlanta overall is a supportive environment. When I go to LA and audition there, it's like backstabbery. You know what I mean? It's no one's talking to you. They're snitting at you. They're probably trying to find a way to sabotage you. But here, we look out for each other. We promote one another's work. Hey, what, you know, on social media, I'll tell. And I might have been up for the same part. If I don't get it, you know, of course, none of my friends, we audition against each other because you can only have one black girl. Right? You know, we can never all be in the same scene, right? But, you know, so only one of us can book it, right? You know, but it's a very supportive environment here. Hey, you didn't have your script. Here's my script. I just finished. Or, you know, overall. So I think, I don't know if it's just because it's the South, it's New South, or I don't know what it is. I guess it is because it's the South.
Do you think it's more difficult because it is kind of I mean, what is comedy? It's like you mock people, you make fun of people, you like put people down, make fun of race, make fun of gender, make fun of certain things. But do you think that the fact that it is comedy makes it more difficult to break down barriers?
I mean, anything that is dominated by white men, white men will always feel comfortable with other white men. I hope I don't get hate mail for that, right? You know? But that is really because me being a black woman, you know, you guys will have the whole thing, but then I'll be the only one, you know?
Yes.
And then I have to deal with that too, where I'm just why are you making clucking sounds for Swahili? That's not how they talk. You don't do that for Irish. When we talk about comedy, it's a form of entertainment, and the entertainment industry is just misogynistic. It's just, it's not right. It's not good. Anytime that you can say, well, we just can't hire you because people just won't buy that magazine with a brown face on it. Or people just won't do this with, you know, if a brunette is on the cover, it's just not going to work. I'm sorry. I wish I could, but I can't. When time and time it's proven the opposite.
It's really tough to be that first person and that only person. Mm-hmm. So we have to intentionally keep dragging people in.
What are some maybe roles that women can now play in comedy that maybe like 20 years ago or 70 years ago? Like, what are, have you seen some of the, like, you know, specific roles that now more women can play?
President.
Right? Oh, yeah. President. Oh, I think you can definitely say 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The roles that we're getting to see women playing now are so different. We're getting to see women playing men.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which we aren't really allowed to do previously. Yeah. Guys could play women all day long because that was hilarious.
I think I'm lucky at the theater I perform at, like, if I come out, like, masculine, like, then no one's going to question that I'm a man. Like, it's not a joke. I'll be like, I think there's a scene where I was with the man and he was the mother and I was the father. And it wasn't even funny. It was just like, that was just what the scene, how it turned out. Which is interesting, whereas before, like, if you do make a choice like that, that is the joke. Like, that's the only thing. But we could actually, like, have that as an element, a layer of the scene, opposed to just being like, I'm a man. Look at my man voice.
Or I think, like, that moment when you're on stage and, you know, a character that, you know, someone calls for a character that's female and everyone looks at you.
Yes.
And part of me doesn't mind because I like to be on stage the whole time.
Yeah.
But part of me at the same time wants to be like, well, why don't you go do it?
Sometimes I do. I love that moment where I refuse to go out and then one of them steps out and I'm like, that's right. Get on out there.
Do your lady thing.
Yeah, be a lady out there. Good luck.
Yeah. I still do get laughs sometimes from the audience when they'll say, you know, something to the effect of, the boss is here, or the president's here, the CEO. Anytime it's a higher up in a company, authority figure, and I step on stage to play that role, it's like, oh, look, it's a woman.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You still hear it in the audience. Absolutely. Oh, yay, look, that's different. You know, it's just that kind of, it's almost a joyful laugh, like the audience feels better somehow because they've allowed a woman to play that role.
Well, maybe could we all go around and if each one of you wants to talk about either an improv or stand-up role that you like to play, like you're talking about your crazy aunt role, or if there's like another sort of personality that you like to put on, just maybe talk about that for a quick hot second minute,
a quick
30
hot
minutes,
second.
However.
Yeah. With improv people.
Well, that might, yeah,
there's
sorry.
No quick words coming out of these mouths.
I know,
system.
I know. No brevity.
Let me rephrase it. Just tell me very slowly about your role.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a hard question as an improviser because we try not to play the same role over and over. But I would say if I looked at generally across the board, what I do is I like to play strong women, whether that's like a little kid who is bossing everybody else around, which I think was me as a child, or whether that's, you know, like the mom with the secret or the wife who is running this household, but in a very passive aggressive way. Like whatever it is I think I love playing female characters and I like them to have some kick to them.
The one I thought I was a strong woman, too.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite characters to play is this obnoxious British director. So I'll direct the scene, but then I'll just berate everybody for their horrible choices and just be the most caustic, awful person so that everybody on stage gets this epic amount of sympathy. And yet at the same time, I'm getting to be so dominating and controlling. It's the best feeling.
See, you're a giver.
Yeah.
You're a giver. You're a giver.
And I'm pretty.
So pretty.
Gosh,
so pretty.
I think all of mine are some variety of an insane woman. Because I do more sketch and solo sketch. Well, in my improv shows, it's become a running joke. I always come out at some point in the show, and I'm like, I'm Gypsy Little, and I'm here to audition for the show. So Gypsy Little's she comes around a lot. She's always auditioning, and she always sings I Dreamed a Dream for however long they let me go on. It's not very long, usually. And then I love playing Jippy, the lunch maid. My name is Jippy. I'm always chippy, even though you don't leave me no tippy. Because she doesn't get tipped because she's a lunch maid.
Oh. I hadn't gotten that. I thought that we tipped the lunch maids in my school.
No, Jippy never.
Where
never,
you grew up.
No, she wears a muumuu and has a slight mustache.
Oh, wow. Yeah. She's a backstory.
Oh, yeah. No, she's a sketch
she's got
character.
Secrets.
No,
she's a mom.
She's
got secrets.
Brilliant. Yeah, she's Jippy. And one day she'll have her own cooking show for sure. Jippy's Jambalaya was banned from the school.
Good God.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of in-depth
characters. She's got a dossier.
Yeah. Such a Chicago thing, man.
I love it. She's got a backstory, and I'm like, strong women.
Oh, yeah, strong.
The character has her own social media page.
Yeah, yeah, right. They need them. Yeah. And then there's Aunt Kathy. She comes out. She loves cats, and she, you know, lives alone. So that's like a big improv character is the aunt. Mm-hmm. And then Gypsy Little. As you can see, neither of these are improvised because I clearly planned them beforehand.
Good improv, everyone.
Yeah, I'm not very good at improv.
Yeah, mine's simply just a female Simon Cowell. I mean, let's be honest, I'm not creative. I'm just female Simon Cowell. Go. Got it.
I like to base a lot of my characters on regular people. Like, you know, I love to take certain aspects of different people. What's unfortunate for a lot of people within my life is that I'm constantly mimicking them. Like, to their face. Like, my husband's from West Africa, so he's got this accent that I just automatically do. And then my son has, like, a higher pitch voice. So I imitate them. And anybody who I listen to, I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like a parrot. And so just recently I came up with, I'm just like, I need to create some new characters. I haven't done improv in a while. I've been, you know, fortunate to be able to do some, you know, film and TV stuff. But, of course, that's not your own work that you get to create. And so the worst thing is that I know that I'm going to hell now because I'm basing this one character on a kid, that I will be making fun of this kid. And I know that it's terrible, but it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be comic gold.
I think what feels really cool about comedy to me is that I think that we are part of the generation that changed comedy for women.
Yeah.
That feels cool.
It's
great
true.
Great ending statement, though. Right?
Did you edit that to put it in the end? Yeah. Right?
You gotta get a hot bit if you wanna get those likes. All of them yes and, yes and, yes, yes and. But the rest is shady. Me a yes and, yes and, a yes, yes and. But I do it as a crazy cat lady. Am I single? That's a tough one. No, it's not. I live with 40 cats. I gotta clean my house. It's filled with garbage
Sarah,
and cats Sarah, and all my cats.
Well, Sarah, is it the whole thing is just cats?
Yeah.
You have, like, tons of cats.
Yeah. So
like 40 of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's just me being myself up there, isn't there? I am the crazy cat lady. Watch out, I got a bladey. The joke is on my own behalf. You gotta get a hot bit if you wanna get that laugh. So get yourself a hot bit and you too.